This is a Pinball News production.
Hi, how are you doing? Obviously, I don't have the drawing power of a Gary Stern, so there's a few less of you in the room today. Come closer if you can't hear me. My name's Jody Dankberg. I am the director of marketing at Stern Pinball. I've been there just about a year now. I was brought on with Gary's new partner. And the reason I'm here is to drive a consumer-driven marketing program for Stern Pinball. As everyone was speaking about before, pinball is kind of like a secret society. You guys have kept the secret really good. It's like a boys' club where only the people within the walls know about it. Everyone I talk to said they love pinball. They have no idea it still exists, that people are still making it. They wouldn't even know where to buy one. Most people don't see them on location anymore. So I think it's really important, as Stern being the only manufacturer of pinball machines now, it's our responsibility to tell the world about pinball, not just about Stern, but about pinball in general, because it's an American icon, and it deserves to be published and promoted throughout the world. My background is the music industry. I used to do marketing and artist relations for various music manufacturing companies, guitars and amplifiers. I used to do artist relations and marketing. So I've tried to apply some of the things that I've learned in my past to what we do here, whether it be consumer-friendly website that's given you guys some more media, giving you guys forums to talk to, blogs, things you can learn from some of the designers, some of our tech people. Also, like I said, the video. We got all the new videos coming up for every new game, all the different events we're doing. We're trying to let you guys be a part of it, see a piece of it. We've done some how-to videos. We're going to keep doing more and more of that type of stuff, whether it's how to fix your machine, how to score on a machine, the design of the machine, all sorts of stuff like that, stuff that you guys are interested in and that we hope that most people are interested in. Like I said, everybody seems to love pinball. Again, a couple of things that I've done since I've been there. We got the new website that we've talked about. Another thing that we've done is something that really hasn't been done for Stern or most of these coin-op companies is the social media type of program, including different types of websites like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, etc. And what we found is that there's a great community of people that really support Stern, support pinball, that really want to be part of our Facebook community, a part of our forums and whatnot. And, we love it because it's a great way to talk directly to the consumer, find out what people are thinking, what their opinions are on certain things, what they're saying. It allows us to interact directly with people. There was a time about 10, 15, 20 years ago where if you wanted to talk to a pinball designer, you're a pinball fan, I mean, you had to come to something like this, or you had to write them a letter or something like that. Nowadays, it's really easy to access anybody. If you want to speak with Gary, you want to speak with John or Lonnie or any of the people that work there, we're making it more accessible for you guys to communicate with them. On that note, we do love constructive criticism and we love input. However, we do sometimes feel the need to remove certain individuals or certain comments from our space, and I call it our space because it is it's our community. It's the Stern pinball community. And there's certain people that, I think possibly all of us are guilty of sending an email without thinking what was said or had a bad day and posted something on the internet. What most people got to realize is constructive criticism and open criticism is very welcomed, and it's very intelligent. It's easy to digest. When someone says something nasty because maybe maybe their dog peed on the carpet or, their kid knocked over their bowl of cereal, and then all of a sudden, Stern sucks, or the way we design things sucks, or we've cheapened the games. To me, that's not very constructive or anything like that. And we don't want other people outside of this small pinball community, because again, we're trying to spread this out throughout the world. There's 1.5 billion people on the internet, and we need to let them all know. So when people come to our sites, our websites, our forums and stuff, and they go through there, and it's a selling tool for us. We want everything to be as positive as possible. Again, that being said, we have some really great people at our shop. We have Gary Stern, who's basically kept pinball going for a long time. You all know his background. He's kept the industry going. He's been in the business since he was a little boy. We have great programmers. We've got a nice team with Lonnie Ropp. He's got some cool guys that work underneath him. We have some subcontracted programmers that we work with as well. John Borg has really been on fire this year. He's made the past two, three games. He's just really been on fire. Really proud of these guys working within a budget and being able to create really fun and exciting games for you guys to still enjoy and provide for your operators and people who run the games, provide a higher ROI for you guys. We're trying to, as Gary was mentioning before, we're trying to go to a design philosophy where the game doesn't last 45 minutes on one quarter or 75 cents, if you would. And then, as Gary mentioned before, part of what I've done is, in marketing, is find out. I spent a good majority of my time at the beginning finding out what does the market want, what do people want, what do people like. So overwhelmingly, we find that everybody loves pinball. It's hard to find someone who hates pinball. But there's different levels about people want to get involved in pinball. Not everybody can afford a $4,000 or $5,000 machine, or even the $2,000 used machine. Not everybody can own the $10,000 limited edition machine. So we found that there's different. We need to make different type of products for different types of people. There's guys like me. I'm in my young 30s, who, I don't have a giant income, but I got credit cards at Best Buy and stuff like that. So if there was a machine available for a guy like me, who just enjoys having a pinball machine, that would be great to have an entry-level game like that. We're still going to continue to make our pro models for the coin-op and collector markets. And our premium machines, are going to be the higher-end machine, limited edition, may have extra mechanisms, different rules, different artwork, stuff like that. We're going to continue to strive to hit different points in the market, because if we continue to make the same type of pinball machine and just at just one level, there's not enough business to sustain that type of thing. So we want to spread the word. We want everybody to have a piece of pinball, whether it's the little machine or the big machine. And we'll find that once people start getting into pinball that haven't been into pinball, as you guys know who do own machines, they're very addictive. People will end up stepping up into higher end machines, and it's just going to be good for everybody who's in the business, whether you do repairs, whether you sell parts, whatever your forte is. It's gonna just bring a lot more traffic to everything. That's basically my pitch here. I had just wanted to ask you guys if there's anything that you wanted to see on the marketing side of things, or if you had any ideas or any questions. Go ahead. Yeah, John?
You talk about anything. I know it's been mentioned by many people a lot of times. The whole putting flyers in DVDs, for an Avatar Christmas release or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then even CD soundtracks. People buy soundtracks to movies that you might do, or if you use a song, or if you ever do something on a rock band, maybe you incorporate something in that with your CDs as well. But I'm just really curious why the DVD thing was never utilized, especially with the Family Guy came out. It seemed like it could have really picked up sales. You're targeting someone who can probably afford a pinball machine. If they're buying a Blu-ray movie, or buying a 3D television now, kind of build it more like your price.
Definitely. I mean, you and I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I have tried in the promotion side of things, try to work out with some other companies outside of our pinball industry. And I think that's what you're kind of getting at there, John, is how can we co-op with the movie companies or a certain store or something like that to get more people involved in what we're doing. Whether it's, if it was Avatar, for example, is there a way we could partner up with, James Cameron's people and have a special DVD that comes with the machine, or vice versa, a promo in the DVD for the machine, stuff like that. All licensors are different. Everybody's willing to give a little bit more skin. So it'll vary from case to case, but that's a great idea. That's a great idea. Any other questions, comments? Yes?
As you get into greater outreach to consumers who are not skilled at working with machines, seems like you would have to expand your tech support department quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any plan in mind for how you would combine the social media so that a community like this can be connected with those people?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And actually, what we've been doing over the past few months, Pat Powers and myself, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Pat Powers. He runs the tech department at Stern. We've gone over hundreds and hundreds of people who work throughout the country and throughout the world, finding out if they're still in business, if they're still legitimate guys, stuff like that. We've managed to put together a service center network of 150 legitimate guys throughout the country. We do have some guys up in Canada and Europe as well. But this network is very important as we get machines in people's homes that are not used to working on them, not fixing them. They're going to need people to come out and give them the support. So it is very important. As far as tying into social media, what I would encourage is anybody who does own their own repair business or sells parts or anything to get involved. Create your own account. Create a Facebook account. Create a Twitter page. Let people know what you're doing. The reason they call it viral marketing because it spreads like a virus. Someone will see it on our page and then put it on somebody else's page and whatnot. That. So the more people that are involved in the network, the better. So I would encourage anybody who has their own business in the pinball industry to start a social networking campaign because the more people that are doing it, the better it is. It's going to be for everybody. Anything? Back there and then you. Yeah? Yes, sir.
Can you speak a little more about your expansion into China and what your expectations are?
The Chinese project, I can't speak too much about it. I'm not directly involved in it, but I can tell you China is a very emerging market right now as far as consumer goods. The standard of living has risen in China. People are finding that they like the luxuries of life, if you would. There's some, I don't know if this how accurate this number is. There's supposedly about 10,000 arcades in China, give or take, probably a few thousand. So it's a very popular gaming market. They do like simpler games. They like, and I believe I saw you at the tour this morning, they love the Papa Shot, which is the basketball. They're very, very great at it. And so for our first venture over there, we have chosen the NBA machine because the NBA is very popular in China. Gary tells me that Kobe Bryant's still more popular than Yao Ming over there. So there is something to be said about that machine. And I think it's going to do really well over there. And we're really excited. It's a very exciting opportunity to be able to sell into emerging markets. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, is you in the red shirt? Yeah.
Is there any development for a permanent play type of environment?
Absolutely. I think this has been definitely a regrowth year for Stern, and as we get our legs back under our bodies and we move forward, we're definitely looking to innovate and to use technology for that type of purpose. My personal pipe dream would to have wireless cards in every machine, so it was Wi-Fi, so it was hooked up to any network. And that I also have another pipe dream of creating the Stern application for your smartphone or device that you could walk up to the pinball machine and it'll recognize you and say, hey, John, how you doing? Been a long time since you played. And then once you play, post your score to a database, stuff like that. But again, these are things that are very doable with today's technology. And with our limited resources, we're trying to get to it. As far as tournament stuff goes, I definitely encourage people to get involved. It really doesn't take much except for your time. I plan on putting up some tournament packages on the website where you'll be able to go, you'll be able to get your trophy, get your flyers, get your posters, and you'll be able to it'll be an all-in-one package and you won't have to worry about getting anything designed or printed or whatever. You just buy your package from us. You'll be ready to throw a tournament in no time. And there's a lot of other things I want to do. I want to do street teams, similar to like the record labels, where we send people out and you earn points or credits for activities that you accomplish on the street team. One thing would be holding impromptu tournaments. Zach Sharp, who I'm sure you guys are all familiar with, me and him had him and I had a really cool experience a few weeks ago where we went into a very crowded bar with a pinball machine. And we just started throwing a $5 tournament on the machine. We asked the bartender if it was okay. He said, not a problem. Next thing you know, $200 later, 40 people played the pinball machine. Some guy won $200. And we created something out of nothing. And I think that's really what pinball needs, is more grassroots, more do-it-yourself. And I'm not really speaking to the people in this room, because obviously you guys are grassroots and you are and that's why you're here at the Pinball Expo. I just need to make an army of people like you to get out there and do it. You again, yes. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Industry, but I can know that there's a local place here where they do have a tournament, it's not play with it. It's a machine, it's a tournament planet. And there's something intriguing about that when you're trying to beat a score and trying to go after something.
Mm-hmm.
But there are very few, because the machines look like they have that capability of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not even wireless connect.
Well, you know, the machines are set up for tournament play, absolutely.
It's also the operators that seem to run that piece of it. So even one time I actually won something on one of them, trying to get the reward from it.
Right.
It was kind of very organized.
Yeah, well, it's because it comes on the onus of the operator or the person running that machine to be responsible for that. Again, when you ask people to take responsibility and initiative for things, some things are more important to other things than others. To some operators, perhaps just getting his money out every week and cleaning up the machines are good. Some operators I've met are super into pinball and very passionate about it. Take care of their machines, run the support the tournament, stuff like you said. But if we can make it easier for people to do that with the Wi-Fi stuff, with people just going in and doing that. I think the onus is on us to try to make it easier for people to be able to do it. Any other comments? Yes, sir.
Are you building a support community online, or is it going to be open to news? There's tons of technical support, but the manuals up, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, on the Stern website?
The pinball community is a self-supporting community for somebody buying a new machine.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of opportunity for customer service and taking care of these new customers and old customers alike. We do on our website, we do try to publish all of our manuals, all our instructions, stuff like that. But I think making that stuff more readily available, perhaps it's even its own social networking site, how to take care of your pinball machine. I mean, I could see a Facebook page for that where everybody contributes and comments, stuff like that. You're absolutely right. It does need to be more available. Any other comments, concerns, questions? John, yeah?
That is an idea. What about trying to offer a pinball machine as a prize on the Monopoly game with McDonald's?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There's all sorts of connections. It comes back to that whole co-oping with companies outside of our industry. We do know McDonald's obviously likes pinball. We saw on Mr. Shelberg's video. But that's a great thing about what we're doing here is we're making games, we're making fun things, and we're very lucky in that aspect, and we just want everybody to be able to experience it and have a good time with it. Anybody else? Any? Yes, sir.
As far as your target market, what would you say your actual age range is of your target market right now? And are you ready to approach one of them?
Well, you know, we all know that this is a male-dominated type of sport. Again, I come from the music industry, so you go to a rock concert and you see a bunch of dudes, no chicks usually. It's a bunch of guys with long hair. They look like chicks from behind, but it's usually just dudes. And by nature, gaming and pinball especially is kind of a male-oriented thing. We kind of estimate our demographics, you know, anywhere from 35 to 55 years old, professional males. But our female and our 18 and under groups are steadily growing, not as fast as I'd like. If you look at our Facebook stats, probably we have 4% under 18 years old, and everybody else is above that. To me, that doesn't. I want 20% of the youth. You know, I want. We need the new generation, all your guys' kids and everything like that, getting involved. But and the females as well. I mean, I don't know what it'll take to get there were some ladies in the audience. What do you got? What do you like about pinball? What is it? Is it because your husband there loves pinball?
Yeah,
you married someone who likes pinball. Is there any females in the audience that liked pinball before? There you go. What was it about pinball that you like?
I don't know. I think I do agree with the term, like the randomness of the game, and it's something you can basically just, you know, take some time to.
It appeals to you. It appeals to you, yeah. We know that people like to compete. People like doing things. How about you?
The way grandparents can
Absolutely.
They want a cheap brand.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, we find that pinball is great for the family. I mean, Gary always tells me it has to get by mom first, and then because dad will say it's for the kids. And it's a great family activity. It's family fun. It's it's a little bit more productive than maybe a video game. You got a little more hand-eye skill type of thing going on, and it's organic. And
when your kids are home and your grandchildren are home, you know what they're doing.
Yeah, you know where they're at. You know they're not on the streets, right? Exactly. Anybody else? Any suggestions? Any comments? What we should be doing? No. Yes. Yes, sir.
You know, say you get less than 4% under 18, and I think Gary was up there saying we build games for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And there's yeah, well, it seems to me to be obvious why you have less.
It depends.
I have a young daughter, mm-hmm. and I try to get her interested in pinball. The only places we could find pinball in my area happen to be all kids' places, Chuck E. Cheese, bowling alley, and movie theater. That's mm-hmm. the only places I can find pinball. And yet there's almost nothing targeted for her except Shrek,
maybe Simpsons, stuff like that. Well, it's a delicate balance because she obviously couldn't afford to buy a pinball machine herself, right? You would have to buy it. So it would have to appeal to you and her, right?
But for playing.
But for...
You know, she's not interested.
She won't even go near it, right? Yeah. Yeah. Again, you're absolutely right. And perhaps that's something to consider for when we move down the road. We talk about this entry-level game, stuff like that. Perhaps titles like that will be more fitting. The Toy Stories, you guys mentioned Toy Stories. You guys mentioned some other things. Maybe one day the lady from Harry Potter will figure out it's a cool thing. But perhaps some of those titles might work for the entry-level games, absolutely. And get the kids more interested in pinball. That's a great suggestion, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, sir?
I've got my kids as well.
Yeah.
Xbox Live to them is the greatest thing. But the reason being is because it's that interaction and there's that competition that's happening.
Right, because they like the...
It's entry level games that they have for home use. They have Wi-Fi connectivity and then most tournaments are like virtual tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can win a t-shirt or you can win something, but something that engages you to play because of the competitiveness of, so-and-so log in is, he's got high score and I know I can beat him. You're going to spend more time at that machine trying to beat even a virtual person than you are just playing.
Yeah, I 100% will agree with you. I'm a Xbox Live guy myself. I always find myself playing 12-year-olds in China on Call of Duty, and they beat the crap out of me. But you're absolutely right. People love to compete, especially when they can see results and stuff like that. That's why a lot of these iPhone apps are very cool. They always post the scores, and everyone's trying to compete with each other and outdo each other. But yeah, if we can get these things networked, there can be a place where you could go see the places, maybe even on some of these games, it posts the results right away, something like that on some type of display. But these are all great, great suggestions. We definitely do need to be connected somehow. We just got to figure out what the best approach is to it. But I would agree. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
And what about when a person buys a new game, people that know how to play pinball can figure out these rules and all the deep sets, but get a nice high score, but the average Joe here, what did you do? How did you do it? Have you ever thought about putting the DVD out on each machine and here's how you do it?
Yes, absolutely. You must be reading my notes. That's a very astute point. We do need to do some how-to videos for the general public. Myself, again, I don't come from the pinball industry. I have the luxury of sitting in Lonnie Ropp's office while he's designing the games and ask him, what does that do? What does that do? Most people in the world do not have that luxury. So I would say instructional DVD, or if it's not a DVD, someplace you can go on the net to download, whether it's our media channel, YouTube, whatever. I would absolutely... I would agree that we definitely need some how-to video, how to score, what the modes are.
When you have the YouTube, but you basically sit there and you watch, it has to be explained. And not only that, you could include another game that you're doing. You have on hand.
Absolutely. Yeah, it could be a great marketing vehicle as well. You're absolutely correct. Great ideas. Really good stuff. Yes, sir.
You said that a lot of people expressed that they love pinball and they didn't know it was
still in existence.
Yeah.
Is something like a national billboard campaign or US Today feasible or not?
Well, you know, stuff like that's very costly. Advertising is very costly, and what you want to remember when you're doing most of your advertising is you want to at least try to accomplish a goal and get a return on investment. There's different ways to get a return on investment. And it depends on how you measure it. Some things are more measurable than others, and some things are riskier than others. Magazine advertising is very hard to measure, but it looks great. It lets people know what's going on. Billboard, same thing. Very visible, very still, but it's very hard to measure a return on investment like that. And we're trying to be very careful on the way we're promoting right now, is spend our money as wisely as possible, get the most effect for what we're doing. But, you know, if it was up to me, we'd be on every billboard in the country for sure, if it was feasible. Yes, sir? Product placement is great. I mean, because I always go back to the old Seinfeld where they had, you know, you always saw his bike standing in the back. I always wanted a mountain bike like Seinfeld because he had the bike hanging in his apartment all the time. Product placement's a little more difficult on licensed products because we get calls all the time. Can I show this machine in my show? Can we put this in this movie? Absolutely, but you got to clear it with Warner Brothers or Fox or whoever it is. It's a lot easier with a non-licensed title to do that product placement. But product placement is great. I have a lot of friends that actually just, that's their job, is to do that with a musical product. So it is good stuff. Again, difficult with licensed products. Yes, sir.
Another comment too is if the exposure of playing the game is what it counts to, actually just trying to find a pinball in whatever geographic area you live in, becomes a very grassroots kind of environment. It's very sketchy, and those I've even talked to some vending companies before that, you know, I guess one of the repair guys went and I said, where else, what other places do you have around here that you service that has pinball machines? Having a site that maybe, I think it'd be good for the vending companies themselves to even let it be known where pinball machines are at.
Absolutely. Well, there's
have a site that maybe you guys host or something. Mm-hmm. That way that, you know, granted, regardless of what kind of game they have there, like you mentioned, it may not be a Stern game, but
It's pinball.
It's pinball, and you know, if it's an older machine that's basically, people are still playing and it's making money for that location, they're going to put a new machine in.
Yeah, it'll give the operator a good feeling about it. Absolutely. Well, there's
a lot of resource like that. I've kind of kept track myself. I've got it even on my GPS, so I know when I'm in an area, I'm going to call.
Oh, there you go.
This place has one, or that place has one, and it's something that I would love to have a resource that you go to a different town when you travel.
Absolutely. There's a few guys, actually more than a few guys, that have taken the initiative, do a lot of pinball locators. There's the Rebel, Pinball Rebel. There's a Pittsburgh locator. That's an issue with it, is that they need to be updated completely. We have ours on our website, which kind of pulls from all the databases. We depend on the public to update that. Again, if we came back to our topic about having a wireless card in the machine, well, we would know where every machine was, and that would be very easy for us to update and all that type of thing. So perhaps down the road, that might be the solution. You could literally see where they were on a GPS, stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir.
As an operator, I'd be a little scared about a wireless card.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
Because it's going to be telling people where my machines are. Not only that, it gives some Big Brother the idea of where I'm operating.
Okay.
And where money might be going with it. It's not quite exactly right.
Okay. So maybe it's an option. Maybe it's an option to use it or not. Absolutely, depending on what your business model is. That's really good information.
Yeah, you can certainly look at the objections that jukebox operators have had to being tethered to their financial partners, and this would be the same thing playing out again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I guess it would be a case-by-case scenario. Definitely for the homeowner, it would be a great thing. And for some location guys, it might be an option. For in your case, it wouldn't. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Back to the product placement issue. Couldn't you make an agreement when you got the license that, okay, we're going to have so much product placement
for our... It's, again, you know, Gary and Mark Schoenberg, they handle all of our licensing. They do a fantastic job. As Gary was explaining before, we are a big pain in the ass for almost every licensor we go to. We take up so much of their time, so much of their creative assets and stuff like that, that a lot of times, and I'll be honest, we don't push for things like that. And it's because we're mostly interested in making the product as best, the best it can be, and we don't want any hiccups in that respect. But it's definitely an option of something that we could talk about as far as getting that agreement going, stuff like that. There's another option where, you know, we have some type of generic pinball machine that we make that can be skinned to different things, stuff like that. And that could work for these promotional purposes or advertising purposes. The game shown on TV doesn't necessarily have to be fun. It's just a prop. Is that it? Oh, Mr. Stern. Yes, sir.
Just a second. First of all, I'm very interested. I don't understand most of what Jody does. That's great. And we're learning a lot from it. But I'd like to do just for a minute. Second, so I'll come around for a second. Say hello to my partner, Dave Peterson, here. And talk to him later. Then he's here and tell him all about this.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for your time, and thanks. You know, you guys must have been really bored if you came to watch me speak, so I really appreciate it. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me. My email address is right on the Stern website, or if you see me around here, I'll be around here tonight and tomorrow. And if you have any ideas or any suggestions, I'd love to hear them. I'm learning so much every day, and just this week I've learned so much by being around all you folks, so I really appreciate you guys. So thank you very much.